Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? Well, we've made it easy for you. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the on-demand page and click Share This.
After a year of planning and working and strategizing and organizing and cajoling and discussing it, I can finally see that the end is in sight.
We know that there can still be some congressional action and other action. So it's a victory for sure, but whether or not it could stay in force, we'll have to see.
It's the district's business. It's the right thing to do. And my job is to make sure Congress does nothing.
That's David Catania, an openly gay councilman for Washington, D.C.'s city council. He's author of a bill that the council just passed, legalizing gay marriage in the nation's capital. Marty Rouse of Human Rights Campaign and Washington's congressional delegate, Eleanor Holmes Norton, all talking about the passage of same-sex marriage in our nation's capital. Well, it was going to happen sooner or later, and this one looked like even before the bill was written, even when they were talking about it, a slam dunk for the advocates of same-sex marriage. What happens when the nation's capital has same-sex marriage and the various states are split on the issue? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll begin talking with Chuck Donovan of the Heritage Foundation about today's passage of a same-sex marriage bill by the Washington, D.C. City Council. In about 10 minutes, we'll discuss online gay marriage with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse, and we'll spend the last half hour of today's Issues Etc. talking to Hollywood screenwriter Brian Godawa about the Golden Globe nominations. It's Tuesday afternoon, December the 15th. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can Twitter us at @issuesetc. Chuck Donovan is Senior Research Fellow for the Heritage Foundation, based in Washington, D.C. Chuck, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Todd, a pleasure to be on this afternoon.
What's the general reaction there in the nation's capital? Is there a celebration?
Well, there's certainly celebration on the side of those who wanted to see same-sex marriage enacted in the District of Columbia. There have been advocates for it in the city for decades, and they've won some elections, and this is certainly the proof that if we ever needed it, that elections have consequences. And we also have the consequence that the Congress, with fairly liberal domination at this point, is very unlikely to overturn this. However, it is just the beginning in the battle, Todd. We were waiting for this to be joined in D.C. They have in the District of Columbia a mechanism for initiative and referendum, as they do in a great many states, which have voted on this issue. And now we're going to see a legal process unfold to see whether or not the people get their chance to vote on this.
I think the just the politics, but the actual structure of the government there is a little bit confusing for people. D.C. is a district; it's not a state, and yet it has this city council. It can be overridden by the U.S. House of Representatives, but the will doesn't seem to be there. So, what you seem to be describing is essentially asking the residents of the nation's capital whether they want same-sex marriage.
Well, that's the bedrock question. The District of Columbia, as you say, is somewhat like a state in some regards, but in other regards, typically politically, it's more like an urban area and a very restricted urban area since there are no suburbs involved. So the politics tend to be very liberal. And because it's not quite a state, it doesn't really have a constitution, but it has something called a charter, the District of Columbia Charter, which was established by Congress. That's the document. That establishes that the people of D.C. have a right to vote on nearly every issue of governance. What has happened here is that in the past, the D.C. Council has passed something called the Human Rights Act. And under that act, they believe they can limit those things that the people can vote on. And that's where there's going to be a legal debate. Can the D.C. City Council prevent the people by charter from voting on an issue like marriage redefinition? And I believe the advocates of traditional marriage think that that cannot be stopped, that people need to have their chance to vote.
So what do you think will be some of the immediate consequences of same-sex marriage in D.C.?
Well, we don't know if they're, you know, how immediate it's going to be, first of all. You've got to wait several days here, likely, it may be as soon as tomorrow. The mayor of the city, Adrian Fenty, will sign this bill. He has said that he will. And then you have a 30-day legislative review period in the Congress, and that is legislative days. And like everything else in Congress, it means something a little different from what ordinary Americans think it might mean. It could be as long as 6-7 weeks before that expires, and only after that would theoretically this legislation take effect. But in the meantime, the entire legal process to challenge whether or not there can be a referendum on the issue will be enjoined in the D.C. courts. Now, that has to be expedited, but basically you have probably a period of at least a month where that will be pending. So we, at this point, don't know whether or not we will have same-sex ceremonies in D.C. in February or March, or perhaps not even at all until the people vote on it, which, frankly, would take almost a year.
Let's talk about the nation, then, in a broader sense. The advocates of same-sex marriage, state by state, with every victory, declare that the tide is turning. The opinion of Americans are swinging over to the acceptance of same-sex marriage. Is this true?
Well, there are two, I would say, main branches of that argument. One is that public opinion is changing. And in fact, after Maine voted, actually just before Maine voted, there was a national public opinion poll released, which showed that public opposition to same-sex marriage actually had risen. And was, you know, it's lower than it was certainly a quarter century ago, but it was still in the mid to upper 50s. 31 states have had a chance to vote on the issue. All 31 at the popular vote level have rejected redefining marriage, so basically by a margin of almost 2-1. Where you do see the other branch of the argument is that the next generation of young people seems to be of a mind that marriage does not deserve the protection it has had in our laws. And I think we do have a deeper educational and experiential problem with protecting marriage. But one thing about young people is that they do grow up and they tend to migrate in their political views. But we'll see if that happens here.
Could the advocates of same-sex marriage be, in time, victims of their own success? That is, these victories that they do win, even if they're only temporary, could tend to consolidate opinion against it or prepare people who want to protect the legal entity of marriage between a man and a woman, prepare them for the battle coming down the line.
Well, I think some beneficial things are happening, particularly with people who now have to, and I certainly would include myself among them, we have to make a better case for the particular benefits of traditional marriage. We also have to deepen our critiques in ways that the public can accept, and we do think the public is basically of a mind to keep traditional marriage, but we have to find ways to strengthen the institution, because it is certainly over the last generation through public policy reforms, cultural issues, and even spiritual malaise, in my opinion, has become a weakened institution, and weakened institutions are valued less by the people who've grown up with them. So we've had to do better in not just resisting the redefinition of marriage, but coming back with something that really affirms this institution and strengthens it.
So what do you think is the strongest argument that has broad appeal with the American people in favor of traditional marriage and protecting it legally?
Well, you have a split between those who think that marriage is basically an institution about the adult desires, what do two people in their relationships with each other, what freedom do they have to make arrangements and provide for benefits and the like. I think that's one school, and that has some sway with the American people. At the end of the day, though, the reason why society cares about marriage is because it is the connective tissue within society that makes for homes and neighborhoods. It also connects generations, so it's really about mothers, fathers, and children. And frankly, even with all our reproductive technologies, there isn't a child on the planet today who doesn't have a mother and father. And if we get away from promoting the connection between mother, fathers, and kids, I don't think anybody really knows what the far-ranging consequences of that would be. I think people should and would be reluctant to change that.
Finally, how big a setback, if at all, was today's vote by the Washington, D.C. City Council in favor of same-sex marriage?
Well, it was a little smaller because it was not unexpected, and also because the response in terms of seeking a popular vote is there. But no one should underestimate it. This is the nation's capital city. It's symbolic of probably the greatest power in the world. We always talk about the reach of Washington, and I think on that ground, this is a very important development, and one we hope will be reversed.
Chuck Donovan is Senior Research Fellow for the Heritage Foundation based in Washington, D.C. We'll post a link to the Heritage Foundation at our website, issuesetc.org. Chuck, thank you very much for your time. Keep up the good work.
Todd, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
When we come back from this break, we're going to turn to, this seems an odd notion, but of course, technology makes such things possible. Is it legal? Is it prudent? Online gay marriage. The advocates say, look, why should I be bound by the laws of my state if I want to marry in a same-sex relationship? If I could utilize the laws of another state where it is permitted, why can't I get married online and let that marriage suffice? We'll talk about online gay marriage. Is it even feasible? Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse will be our guest on the other side of the break. Then we'll spend the last half hour of today's Issues Etc. this Tuesday afternoon, December the 15th, with Brian Gadawa, a screenwriter in Southern California, author of the book Hollywood Worldviews, Watching Films with Wisdom and Discernment. We'll talk about the Golden Globe nominations. Well, it certainly is symbolic. There's no two ways about that. I imagine that's why the effort was put forth. Not that D.C. really counts in terms of population or sway or any of those kinds of things. It was a slam dunk, that's good, but it stands as a symbol. If the nation's capital, at least for the time, and at least now in theory, will sanction same-sex marriage, some might argue, well, why not the rest of us? It's a powerful symbol, there's no two ways about it. But a lot of this debate is really about symbol, about what stands behind this. Make no mistake about it, what stands behind the fight for same-sex marriage isn't marriage, but legitimacy of homosexuality as a lifestyle. We'll be right back.
Ah, the sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30, and find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.
Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift between now and the end of the year, we'll send you a CD of an Advent and Christmas sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate online at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. And for any size year-end gift, we'll send you a CD of Todd's Advent and Christmas sermons.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? Well, we've made it easy for you. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the on-demand page and click Share This.
We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology. And we'd like to send you the new Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, 1600 Gulfview Drive, Suite 230, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology. The new Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker.